You know, I just tell the Lord, I'm honest with the Lord. Are you honest with the Lord? I've been telling him, Lord, I've got nothing. I have nothing to give unless you give it to me. And it's happened the last 2 weeks. I'm Saturday noon without a message. And so I will not come unprepared. I will not come to you without something from heaven. And so my wife can testify, I just pushed the recliner back yesterday and I just waited. And here we are. Are you ready? Let's get going in the Word together this morning. Let's experience some of the life that comes only from Him. I've actually preached one of the companion passages in the Synoptic Gospels about this very same scene where Jesus walks on the water. But we're going to look at Mark chapter 6 this morning together, starting at verse 45. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat. I don't think they had a choice. That's the way the scripture's reading here. He made them get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side to Bethsaida, while he himself was sending the crowd away. And after bidding them farewell, he left for the mountain to pray. When it was evening, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land. Seeing them straining at the oars, for the wind was against them. You feel that way sometimes? You're fighting, you're paddling, and you're getting nowhere. That's the scenario here. The wind was against them. At about the fourth watch, in the middle of the night, really, he came to them walking on the sea, and he intended to pass by them. That's a mystery there. I'm not really able to give you an explanation of that. But when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost, and they cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke with them and said to them, take courage. Do not be afraid. It is I. Then he got into the boat with them, and the wind stopped, and they were utterly astonished, for they had not gained any insight from the incident of the loaves, but their heart was hardened. And so, this is right after the miracle of the multiplication of the bread and the fish, of the feeding of the 5,000. And here they are losing their grip when they see Jesus walking on the sea. I don't know how you would react, but I think maybe I might be a little bit shaken as well. But here we go. And thank you, Rich, for the introduction from James chapter 1 this morning about persevering in our trials, because that's really the bedrock of today's message. Life has its challenges, and being a Christian doesn't mean you won't have challenges. Have you found that out? In fact, some of the greatest challenges I've faced has been as a Christian, as a believer, walking with the Lord. But you always have a choice of how you respond to the challenges, in your own strength or with God's strength and God's help. And I was remembering yesterday, You know, I know hundreds and hundreds of Christian songs over the years, and the Holy Spirit brings them to remembrance. And this was one, and I'm particularly impacted by this segment of the song by Andre Crouch, "Through It All." And it says, "So I thank God for the mountains, and I thank Him for the valleys. I thank Him for the storms He's brought me through. For if I never had a problem, I'd never know that God could solve them. I'd never know what faith in His word could do. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. I've learned to depend upon His word." Amen? It's a journey we're on, and there are bumps in the road. Some pretty big bumps at times, I might add. But Jesus is always with us and encourages us along the way. He never promised life without challenges, but He did say, Hebrews 13:5, referring to Deuteronomy 31:6, "I will never leave you or desert you, nor will I ever forsake you." And He said in the New Testament, Jesus said in John 16:33, "In me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation." No doubt about it. You're going to have trouble, tribulation, challenges. But take courage, or the King James renders that, I believe, "Be of good cheer, for I, Jesus, have overcome the world." Take courage this morning. The Amplified says, "Take courage, be confident, be certain, be undaunted, for I have overcome the world." He's saying what you cannot do in your own strength, He can do in you and then through you. So this morning's message is entitled "Prevailing in the Storm," or "Prevailing in the Storms of Life," if you prefer. Because we will face storms. We will face challenges. You're naive if you think that everything is going to be going your way, because it's not. Because God does some of His finest work in the middle of those challenges. We are forced to come to grips with what is lacking in us. We are forced to admit how much we need Him and how much we cannot live without Him. And so challenges are a good thing. Storms in life are a good thing. We don't feel they're good when they're happening, but in the aftermath, we see God's work, we see His promises, we see what He was trying to do in us before He could use us and work through us. So we see Jesus here. How do we prevail in the storms? Jesus, you think Jesus didn't know His disciples in the boat were heading into turbulent waters? He didn't know the wind was going to roar and the waves were going to get violent? Of course He did. So the first thing He does is prayer before the storm. It says in verse 46, "He departed to the mountain to pray." He got alone with His Heavenly Father to pray, to get His signal set. And we can see numerous times in the Gospels, the most potent one, I would guess, is before Gethsemane, before He went to the cross, Matthew 26:39. He went a little beyond them. At this time, He was with Peter, James, and John only. And He went apart from them to meet one-on-one with His dad. fell on his face and prayed, saying, My father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as thou wilt. It's a very powerful scene, and I am sure that it was a gut-wrenching time for Jesus, because his humanity knew what was coming, the suffering he would need to endure for you and I. But he also knew his Father always has a purpose, and your Father always has a purpose in your storm. But you have to find him, and you have to seek him for that purpose in your storm. James 5:16, the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. And the Amplified renders that the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its work. In other words, God makes things happen in such a way there is no doubt it's him at work. He answers our prayers. You know, sometimes we act like he doesn't answer or hear our prayers, but the truth is, he doesn't give us the answer we want. That's the issue at times, or when we want. And so that is part of what transpires in the storms of life, in the challenges that you and I face. And of course, Ephesians 6:18, pray at all times in the Spirit. And this is what Holy Spirit said yesterday. Prayer positions you for perseverance and release of God's power to prevail. You need to be at that place that prayer will get you to if you're going to prevail. And it needs to be the bedrock, if you will, for whatever we do and whatever we can accomplish for God and for his kingdom. We also need his presence in the storm. Number two, from verse 15, it says they all saw him. And they all heard him speak as well. They all saw him. And if you can imagine, in the middle of the night, even if the waves were small, right, they seemed tremendously bigger because of the darkness. It's 3 or 4 in the morning here. And so they've been rowing against the wind and the waves since evening. So let's say 6 hours or so, at minimum. And they may have asked this question, like David did in the Psalms. Psalms 42:5. Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him. For what? The help of his presence, or the help of his countenance, some translations read. The Passion reads, No matter what, I will sing with praise for living before his face is my saving grace. Living in his presence, living in his favor, and feeling that, and knowing that, no matter what we see going on around us, we must keep going. We must keep walking by faith and not by sight. I can't say that I'm ever tempted to quit, though. I know my flesh wants to quit sometimes, but my spirit says, no way, no how. It's not happening. No matter how rough it gets, my Jesus is right beside me. And I will not quit. Psalms 140, verse 13, surely the righteous will give thanks to his name. The upright will dwell in his presence. He's with us. You know, we sing there's a lyric that we sing in a song. It says, even if I don't feel it. You see, sometimes we're tempted to go by feelings. Or even if I don't see it, he's still there. He's still with us. His presence goes with us. That's Bible truth. Psalms 145:18. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. I would add there, not just when you want something. You need him. You don't need something. You need him. So that's calling on him in truth. Being honest with the Lord is calling on him in truth. James 4:8. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. So we need Psalms 104, verse 5, to seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Psalms 27, verse 8. When thou didst say, seek my face, my heart said to thee, thy face will I seek. You know, sometimes other voices want to drown out the voice of the Lord. We cannot allow that to happen. We have to hold on to that anchor of our soul, as it talks about in the Word of God. Because of him, you can prevail in the storm. You can rise above and live in the light of his perspective, provision, and power. You know, there are times when the rope is slipping, and if it wasn't for that one little knot at the very end, we would let go. But that won't ever happen with him. He's always making a provision. He's always has a solution when we seek him, when we're honest, when we're open, when we're truthful. He releases his power and provision so that we can prevail in the storm. Number three, we need his peace and his provision. Sometimes we think we don't, but actually we do. And from verse 50. It says, they were all terrified. That's pretty vivid there. It doesn't say they were worried. It says they were terrified. My goodness, help me, Jesus. But immediately he spoke with them and said, take courage. It is I, do not be afraid. Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid. In the Gospels, Jesus speaking, John 14:27, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. When we're fearful, we're not going to be able to see things clearly, and we're not going to be able to discern his voice, which is so essential when the storm is raging, when things seem to be just too much. Psalms 107:29-30, he caused the storm to be still, so that the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad because they were quiet. So he guided them to their desired haven. And the Passion says he guided them safely to harbor, that place of shelter, that place of safety, that place of security. When you drown out all the noise, all those things that want to interfere with you hearing the one voice you need to hear, he guides you into safe harbor, safe haven. Psalm 73, verse 26, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. And I was thinking of the song by Don Moen before I went to that, found the verse there in Psalms 107. Who have I in heaven but you? There's nothing on earth I desire beside you. My heart and my strength, many times they fail. But there's one truth that will always prevail. God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Amen? And so that's a beautiful rendering of Psalms 107 in song. So we actually sang this morning. Need to keep Jesus at the center. We need to keep Jesus at the center of our life. And his peace and his provision will sustain you. I love it when a plan comes together. When the worship songs and the introduction just leads right into the message. That's Holy Spirit, and only Holy Spirit can do that. Of course, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. And he will make your path straight, or he will direct your path. Oh, my goodness. Number four in prevailing in the storm is his power and protection. From verse 48 and 51. He walked on the sea only by his power. That is the only way that could have happened. He's walking on the sea. By his own power. We don't need to go there, but the other accounts are John chapter 6, where this scenario is discussed and the emphasis is on certain things by each author, each writer. And verses 19 to 21 there, it says they were willing to receive him into the boat. The boat is ministry. The boat is your journey. And it says, even though they were terrified, read the scripture, they were coming unglued. Once he said, take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid. They invited him into the boat. And not unsurprisingly, everything became calm. Everything became still. And then, of course, the famous one about Peter starting to walk on the water, Matthew chapter 14, 26 to 32. And Peter was able to walk on water by how? Faith. Faith in Jesus and faith in the power of Jesus. And he only started to sink when he took his eyes off of Jesus. But what was the thing that released the power in that passage? Jesus said, come. When he said that, that enabled Peter to walk on water without sinking. He released that power, that same power that raised Jesus from the dead, that same power that dwells in you and I. He said, come. What are you going to do when Jesus says, come? In your storm of life. When you think it's impossible, and he said, no, come. My grace is sufficient, for my power is perfected in your weakness. Abraham, Father Abraham, in Romans 4, 20 to 21, what he had promised, he was able to perform. And it talks about his faith that enabled him to keep going, keep believing what seemed impossible. Remember, he was 90 years old when that promise was spoken. And he had to wait 10 more years for the birth of Isaac. Not to mention, he and Sarah were knocking on 100 years old. She was beyond childbearing. But it even says in Hebrews, you know, she gets a bad rap sometimes, but it even says in Hebrews that she believed what God said. Check it out in the faith chapter in Hebrews. His promises are yes and amen. First Peter 1, verse 5, it's talking about my inheritance, your inheritance that's reserved in heaven for us. Verse 5, you, that's you and I, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. And so, I don't know if you've ever thought of it that way, but that's the Bible truth. It says, by faith, we are protected. By faith, we are protected for a salvation or for God to fulfill what he promises to us, even though everything else points to a different something happening. Have you ever experienced that? Well, God's just reminded me of a story. You know, usually it's in a negative context when someone says it's in the mail, right? They owe you money. And you go to them and they say, it's in the mail. The check's in the mail. Well, way back when we were buying a house in New Jersey, the first house we bought when we were pastoring in New Jersey, we did not have enough money. But God unmistakably pointed out and promised that that house was our house. And so Kathy, being a woman of faith, she's praying, and God says, the check is in the mailbox. $5,000 from somebody I never even asked for money. Not somebody who was saved. Just quite the opposite. But he heard that we needed the money and he fired off the check. God is able to touch whoever needs to be touched. to fulfill what he has promised to you and I. He will never fail. His promises will never fail. His word will never fail you. You might have to wait, because in the waiting is the working, is the salvation process, God working that salvation process in you and I. That's why it says, walk out your salvation with fear and trembling. Not to be, afraid, but just be in awe of God, trusting him, declaring by faith, this is mine because God said it is, and for no other reason. Oh my. Somebody needs to hear that this morning. Sometimes we lose hope. We shouldn't, but sometimes our hope begins to fade, or our faith begins to wane. Declare his word. Go to his word for the answer you need to prevail in your storm. It is there. And it's the right thing to do. It's the God thing to do. Go to him. Go in prayer and go to the word of God. Trust the Holy Spirit to uncover or reveal the answer that you need for your storm. So it says in our text, Mark 6:51, he got into the boat and the wind stopped. That just doesn't happen, except when God makes it happen. Your storm could be raging one moment, and the next moment there's total peace. There's resolution. It's been resolved. It's been solved. How can this be? God, and God alone. The wind stopped. Isaiah 25:4, for thou hast been a defense for the helpless, a defense for the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm. You have to be willing to say to the Lord, I've got nothing. That's what I'm telling you. I say that more than I like to admit. Lord, I've got nothing. If you don't give it to me, I got nothing. Help me, Jesus. Save me and I will be saved, the word says. So we need to be willing to call upon him. Psalms 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble, in the storm, when things are raging, when you have no clue how to resolve this situation that you find yourself in, this challenge. God has an answer. And I dare say he has an answer right here. In his word. And number five, how do we prevail in the storm? By preparation and purpose. Verse 52. It says, they had not gained insight into the incident of the loaves. And I always find this interesting. The multiplication, all Jesus did was pray. But the bread and the fish multiplied in the hands of the disciples. But they had to obey what he asked them to do. They had to believe for the impossible. Because honestly, when it says 5,000, that's 5,000 men, not including women and children. So there was even more people there. And they had 12 baskets left over, one for each of the disciples to remind them who God was. And it was His power that performed that miracle. His power that accomplished the impossible in that challenge that they were facing. They hadn't gained any, they didn't have a clue. He was training them for ministry. You know, and by the way, the other scripture says that the Word of God is for what? Training in righteousness. Training in righteousness. You don't just become right, well, you do when He declares you to be righteous. But for the evidence of that and for the walking out of that, it's a process of allowing the work of the Holy Spirit as you walk by faith and not by sight. So He was training the disciples to operate in His power and authority. That's really a fair assessment of what was going on here. Not just in the feeding of the 5,000, but in the storm. Stop. Jesus took control. And the waves stopped raging and the wind stopped blowing. James 4, chapter 6. He gives a greater grace. There is nothing more wonderful than God's grace. Experience God's grace in the impossible of life. It's like, my God, how on earth did that happen but for you? He gives a greater grace. John 14, 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. It's not just talking about believing He's the Son of God or believing that the Father is God. It's believing that He desires and will do whatever it takes for you to prevail in life, in the storms of life. He has the power and He has a purpose for everything He does in your life. Sometimes we don't find out until way down the line what that purpose is. But He'll let us in. You do know this, right? You're on a need-to-know basis. When you need to know, He'll tell you. We don't like that. We want answers, and we want them now. Well, it doesn't work that way. His purpose, His preparation. 1 John 4:4, greater is He that is in you than he who is in the world. You got to start believing that. You got to start acting like you believe it. That you are a force to be reckoned with. The devil is under your feet. That's what the Bible says. That's not what I have to say. I'm just quoting what the Bible says. Doesn't say that he's under Jesus' feet. He says, he's under your feet. Greater is He that is in you than he who is in the world. 1 John 5, 5:4, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Are you born of God? Are you born again? Then you have the power to overcome and prevail in your storm. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith, your faith. When you dare to believe His word, when you dare to believe what He has promised will come to pass. First John 3, verse 8. Come on, this is ammunition to knock out your arch enemy. 1 John 3:8. The Son of God appeared for this purpose. What? To destroy the works of the devil. To destroy the works of the evil one. His name is Jesus. His name is Lord. His name is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. To destroy the works of the devil. What do we do? What's our part in all of this? To pursue him. To run after him. Don't delay. Don't make excuses. Run after him with all you've got. Love him with all your heart, your mind, and your soul. That's the commandment in the Word. And you will find him, and you will discover your purpose and your destiny in the Lord. It takes work on your part. He doesn't just hand it to you. That's what covenant is. He will make good on what he says he will do, but we have to participate. That's covenant. We have to do our part. We have to exercise faith. We have to obey the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Pursue him and discover our purpose and destiny, speaking to your mountains, your storms, and they will bow at the name of Jesus. They don't have a choice. They have to bow at the name that's above every other name. And you will prevail in your storm. It not might, not may, not sometimes. You will prevail. He will empower you. He will back you up 100% of the time when you do things according to the Word and according to the directions of Holy Spirit, which he gets from the Father on your behalf. And you just walk in them. Even if it's blind faith. Sometimes it has to be that way. You just have to do it. Don't question it. God said it. I believe it, and that settles it. To him be the glory in his church, both now and forever. Amen. God bless you.